Hey guys, welcome back to the More Than Muscle podcast. I am your host, as always, Matt Cooney, and today is season 2, episode 10. So we have come to the end of another season of the podcast. It's went really fast. And firstly, I just want to say a massive, massive thank you to absolutely everybody who has tuned in and listened to any of the episodes. You really don't understand how much I appreciate, and even just anyone who supports us in terms of on social media, but especially with the podcast, because listening to me for an hour is an achievement in itself. So I am super grateful to absolutely every one of you guys, and even all the feedback and the talking to a few people who have been listening to the episodes. It's great to see that the value you get from them, and a massive thanks. Part of that is Luke O'Mahony, who joined me for, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes in this season. And if you're not following Luke already, highly recommend. Absolute whiz when it comes to training and nutrition. And the goal of this series was similar to the first series, is really just to help you develop and hopefully change the way you can think about your health and fitness journey. Because there's a lot of information out there, and there's a lot of BS, misinformation, and I've been victim of it. I think everybody starting out in their journey is, because it's just so prevalent. So hopefully by listening to this, to our podcast, you are able to find some good quality information, and that isn't hopefully too boring as well, and be able to apply it. Because again, the point of everything we do here is to help you actually implement things, because there's no good. You can have all the information in the world, but it's not any good to you unless you really, really implement it. So yeah, let's dig into today's episode. Because it's the last episode of the series, if you guys are long-term listeners, you'll see season 1, episode 10 was a very personal episode, and it was probably our biggest, I think it's the most listened to episode and the most amount of feedback I got on it. And I shared a very personal story that it was actually the first time I've ever shared it. And it's funny when you always look back now, it's like, oh, I wish I could do that again and do it better. Because at the time I was very, very nervous. I'd never spoken about Pierce or that life event and how it affected me. But yeah, and then I, like, even during it, I remember my head just went a few times. I couldn't think properly, and I felt like I was stuttering a bit. So it's always the way, isn't it? So what we're going to do today, I thought I'd talk about something personal as well. But with that, I truly believe that this is something that holds most of us back. Actually, I'd probably say everyone. The small minority that this doesn't affect probably won't listen to this podcast. So that's for me. And I think I'm right in saying, for a lot of people, and I always like the saying, it's the only thing holding you back is you. And I know for me, that was 100% the case. And it was actually came down to kind of one thing, really. And it was the feeling of not being good enough. And it's not until now I'm older and I'm more aware and I'm able to actually reflect, I can see how much that one sentence affected my life, which is pretty crazy. And it's one of those things, if you've ever looked into mindset and done a bit of a, when you peel back the layers of the onion, like, you have the problem on the surface, or what you think is the problem, or the story you're telling yourself. And if you keep peeling back the layers, you find out the real actual root cause. And for me, it was always that feeling of not being good enough. And it goes back to right to my childhood as a kid. And this is where reflecting, I could see so many times and decisions in my life that the feeling of not being good enough influenced me. And it's like, sometimes not in the worst way, but definitely affected my decisions. And obviously it's all cultivated to ending me up here now. But yeah, it's funny to look back, because even like, if I look back as a kid, like, I used to play basketball when I was a kid, and I was very good, actually, very, very good. And it's something, it's funny, like, when I was a kid as well, I don't know if this is an Irish thing. I found it very hard to take compliments. I don't know if you can relate. Like, I remember people would tell me, like, when, you know, I'd meet them that odd, they're like, oh, you're unreal at basketball. And I'd be like, this is awkward. Do you ever get that when someone compliments you and you're like, thanks, I guess? Like, I didn't know what to say. And for me, it was like, didn't really feel like it was good. You know, I always, it actually drove me, which is good because I like was good at that time in terms of I was competitive and I practiced and practiced and practiced. And for me, it wasn't even practice, it was just my life. It was just bouncing that ball and, you know, going out and training and just constantly wanting to be better. But it's funny how you kind of always have, I always have that memory of it, you know, because I was small as well at the time. So I was like the smallest person on the court. And I think I had that kind of, that's what drove me, was that feeling of not being good enough. So I was like, needed to out practice or outwork everybody else. But it's funny then, because even like, I remember in college in a class called entrepreneurship, and they were talking about obviously entrepreneurs and running your own business and stuff. And I was just staring out the window and I was like, this is, why am I here? It's the biggest waste of time. I'm never, someone like me will never own a business or never run a business. That's what I was thinking in my head. And I literally wasn't even listening. I was like, yeah, I can't wait to this to be over. And again, that comes back down to the feeling of not being good enough, like me not feeling like I could run a business or I could, you know, be an entrepreneur. And that's kind of our, it was my own limiting beliefs. And I think we all have them. And I see it a lot, like, because obviously I've experienced now working with people for over a decade, probably nearly. I don't know, I'm just getting old, years are going by. And I've talked to so many people, and it's the thing I see so much is the limiting beliefs, the stories we tell ourselves that when you actually look at it, they're simply not true. Like for me now, I run my own business. You know, I'm still that same person that was sitting in that college class looking out the window. I haven't changed anything, only worked on my self-belief and only changing that narrative and that story that I was telling myself. And even I said this in another episode, was it was the tracking calories episode, that I didn't feel good enough to track calories, which is kind of weird. It's just an app. But that was the thing. It was like these people over here that I'm looking at on YouTube or the cover of magazine covers, like in really good shape, they track calories. I'm not one of those people. So I don't need to do, I shouldn't be doing that because I'll never be like them. And that was, again, my own limiting belief, which held me back from doing, and same thing here, everything. It was all holding me back from doing the things that I actually wanted to do. And that even led into competing. Same thing, I remember I didn't compete in, I competed in natural bodybuilding in 2018. It was something I thought about for probably 8 years before that, and it was always that, no, I can't do that. I wouldn't be able to do it. I can't do that. And that, it wasn't until, you know, I started working on myself and my mindset and getting to the position I am now, where I'm like, what do you mean I can't do that? Of course I can do that. I'm just like, and it's the same thing for you. You're just like anybody else. We can essentially do anything we want if we put our mind to it, you know. And that's where, like, I can see it at pivotal points in my life where I didn't know it at the time. It's like, it's always like hindsight is good, but it's just that feeling of not being good enough all the time. And it was the same becoming a personal trainer. It's a big one, actually. I was a qualified personal trainer for 7 years before I charged someone for the first session, and I nearly got sick before. And like, that was the thing. I was like, people, you're like, I couldn't get around the fact that I'm like, people will pay me to train them, you know. And when you look at the fitness industry nowadays, like 7 years, I could have wrote an encyclopedia. I had done that much study on, you know, the psychology, physiology behind training, nutrition. But I was absolutely terrified. And it's like people nowadays go and do a course over what, 2 days across a weekend, and then they go charging 50 quid an hour for PT or something, you know, and they haven't an absolute clue. And where me, on the other hand, because of not feeling good enough, one, it took me 7 years to start doing it. Like, it's what I wanted to do. 7 years of contemplating. That's how bad it affected me. And even opening my own place, I remember before I moved to Australia, it was kind of, I was working as a fitness instructor, not a PT. And I was like thinking, you know, going down the whole own my own place thing. The thing that stopped me was like, I told myself sort of like I'm too young or whatever it was. That just stopped me from doing it. And again, it came down to like, I didn't really feel good enough to be someone that owned a gym. And that was the whole reason. Instead, I moved to Australia. And when I moved to Australia, I went again with these stories that I told myself. I was like telling myself that, yeah, it's all going to happen now when I move to Australia. It's the fitness industry in Ireland isn't good. It's not a good place for X, Y, and Z. Telling myself all these stories. It's like, oh yeah, Australia is booming. I'm going to go over. I'm going to be set up my own PT. Everything is going to fall into place when I get there, you know? And that was literally me playing the victim and telling myself a story that, and like, as the story went, I went to Australia 2.5 years in a construction job, but no PT job to be seen, you know? And that's what I always say. I was trying to blame my shortcomings on the external environment. So it was like, no, I'm in the wrong country. The industry here is bad. Whatever it was actually myself. It was my own self-doubt, my own feelings of not being good enough that was making me procrastinate and not take action. And something I always say is like, I move like from one side of the world to the other, but you can't run away from what's in between your ears. And that is key. And that's something I learned the hard way. I learned by literally trying to run away. And at the time, I didn't have a clue that all this was happening or I was doing this, you know. It was just the stories I was telling myself. And I put this on a post last week or the week before on Instagram. Again, it's like when I was in Australia, every single week, I was like, I'm waiting for the right time. No, it's not the right time to leave the job. It's not the right time. Give me another 6 months, or I need to save money. It was never the right time. You know, I mean, it wasn't until literally Pierce passed away that something in me just clicked. And it was like, you know, 25 years of living in fear with self-doubt and that never feeling good enough just flipped from like that to essentially life is too short. There is no waiting around, you know, time doesn't wait for anybody. And it was just from that day that I just instantly changed. And it's not that I don't get that anymore. It's not that like, oh, I always feel like I'm enough. You know, I have no self-doubt. I'm always super confident. Not at all. I still have them. I think we all do. You know, it's not, you can't just stop. You can't just like turn things on and off. But it's more like a dial that I'm able to turn it down. And the main thing now is that I don't let those feelings stop me from doing the things that I want to, because that's what had happened for 25 years is that would literally stop me. It was like that, it crippled me that I just couldn't make the decisions. I couldn't do the things that I wanted to, you know, and I was essentially playing it safe all the time, going for the safe option. And I said this to a coach the other day, I was like, the safe option doesn't exist. It's safer to take the risk than to actually do anything else. Because if you stay in a situation that you're not happy with, what are you doing only prolonging the inevitable, you know? And I'm not saying that you can just, like, you know, quit your job with no plan and then everything's going to be fine. You'll find money on the door, but at least know that, okay, you make the decision to change and then it's like, this is the roadmap to do it, you know? So that's, yeah, it's crazy to look back on things now, and it's just very, I get a lot of, I suppose, different emotions when I reflect on it. And I think for me, I definitely think it relates to a lot of people. I see it like time and time again. And often we don't even know it, you know, like I didn't know it. Even at the time when Pierce passed and I started to do all these things, you know, like going traveling, setting up my own business and everything else that came along with it. I still didn't realize like what had happened or how it changed. It's just from doing more of that deeper work that I actually realized what was holding me back. And, you know, for me, it was things like blaming others for my circumstances, playing the victim, and not taking ownership and control over my life. You know, I said this on a private podcast with our clients. It's like, don't be the passenger. I was being the passenger. I wasn't driving. And then I truly believe we all need to be the driver of our life, because if we don't drive it, if we're the passenger, life leads us instead of us leading it. And it usually, you know, it doesn't end up going to the destination that we want. So I want to go through a few different things that just different points. And I think the first one is, I always love this saying, is get out of your own way. And it's something I say to myself a lot. And it's very, very true. I think we create obstacles for ourselves. I know I did, and still do to some degree, but that's one of the sayings I say to myself. It's like, nope, you're doing it again. Get out of your own way. Because we can do, like, it's a lot of it is just our limiting beliefs and the stories that we tell ourselves. And as weird as it sounds, like, they are not real. They're stories. Like, a story is a fictional story. It's what we make up. And more often than not, it's just a case of getting out of your own way. We look for these solutions or answers to questions or problems when we have the answer. The answer is always inside you. You don't need anything else. And that's where, like, even my job as a coach, a lot of the time, it's like, the answer is there. My job is to help you find the answer. It's already in you, you know, you already have it. But it's just, you know, it's hidden somewhere, and I need to help you navigate and find that. And the second point is just don't play the victim. This is really, really important, because the way you can look at things through different lenses, the same situation, you know, and the way I always think of this is like, you know, sometimes you can't control what happens to you, but you control how you react. And there's always someone out there in a worse off position doing the things that you aren't. And that's what I always think of, is like, there is someone out there, whatever your current position, whatever thing you're not happy about, there's someone worse off. You know, people always thought of that in my photo shoot, competition prep. It's like, there's people out there actually starving. I'm purposely doing it. I can eat any time. I'm actually, you know, I'm choosing to do this. It's a choice. Some of those people don't have a choice. So I think it's really, really important, because we get stuck in that victim mentality. And a lot of that comes down to the words and the language we speak and how we speak about ourselves and our current situation. You know, like, something for me always sticks out is like, I used to have, I wouldn't call it a negative mindset. I was just playing the victim, because someone, funny enough, he's actually in Marbella, Rob Lipset. Most people would probably know who he is. He's Irish kind of fitness influencer. I always remember, it comes back, like, and I've talked to Rob a few times now. He's actually really, really, really nice guy. I used to I don't say hate. Hate's a strong word. I didn't like Rob. And I used to not slight him or anything, but I was like, he got lucky. He's from Dublin, he's a load of money, he's all these things. Realistically, Rob was just doing the things that I wanted to do. And I was there not doing them, procrastinating. And then I was like, again, blaming my situation, being like, oh yeah, he got lucky. When realistically, like even knowing him now, like he put in a lot of work. He put himself out there. He did the things he needed to do to put him in the position to, you know, catch a break or be big. And it's funny how you can see that. It's like, it was nothing to do with Rob. It was more to do with me and the way I was feeling. And then I was just deflecting or like projecting my feelings of me not essentially being good enough and not doing the things that I wanted to do with my life, you know. And there's this guy doing it. And that's where often, yeah, like I see that a lot, even for myself. That's, I wouldn't have said I had, like, I was never like negative, really bad mindset, but it was just, I just didn't know. And I would just blame, it was just playing the blame game, really, you know, which is, it's crazy because we can do that. And that's where it comes back to those stories. Like I made up stories about him. It wasn't even real, you know, it was just to justify the way I was feeling. And that leads me into the kind of the next one. And something that I've started to do over the years that I think has transformed my mindset, I would say that, is practicing gratitude. And you've probably heard of it before. I don't know, a lot of people probably hopefully do it, but practicing gratitude for me has been an absolute game changer. Because again, it just helps you to change the way you see a situation. And it's kind of like, even for me, all I have done with it is in my nighttime journaling, three things that I'm grateful for. And it's very weird. I nearly feel sad saying that. When I first started doing gratitude, I remember I sat there with a blank page, couldn't. And like, this was only a couple of years ago. I wouldn't have said like life was bad or anything. I found it hard. I was like, grateful for it. I couldn't write anything, you know? And I was like, when I look back now, I'm like, you can't find anything that you're grateful for? Like, and because even for me now, you know, it's like, oh, I'm grateful for this microphone that I have, that I'm able to speak to you guys. I'm grateful for the copious amounts of caffeine I had before I recorded this, you know, the mountain outside that we can view. There's always things to be grateful for. And the beauty of gratitude as well is that I've noticed is the more I do it, it becomes the automatic response for my brain. So now, like when I sit down to gratitude, it's bang, I'm grateful for everything. And then in my daily life, I can see situations in a different light, you know, even recently, and something that I've done with when I'm hungover. So I had my birthday like last weekend, 21st, it was nice, 21st, my 12th, 21st. And obviously I was very, very hungover the next day. And before, I would have been like, you know, the way you feel sorry for yourself, you're telling yourself all this stuff. Now, the way I look at it, it's like, I'm like, thank God I do not feel like this all the time. Thank God I don't get this hungover or this, usually that drunk, all the time. So again, it's just seeing things in a different light. And I think it's important to understand, I definitely think everything happens for a reason. And another saying I really like is, you are exactly where you're meant to be. Whether that's good or bad, you are where you're meant to be. And something that I always used to say, and I'm probably still doing a bit today, is like, oh, because again, it took me 7 years to become a PT or start actually working as a personal trainer. Is I was like, oh, if I started 5 years ago, if I was on social media 5 years ago, if I was doing this back then, everything would be so different now, you know. And the reality was, it's I wasn't ready for it. If I was, I would have done it. And that's where the lessons and things that I've been through, they've all happened for a reason to allow me to be where I'm currently at. And I think that kind of comes down to as well as being present, because we can always you can always look at like what you're not doing, or oh, if this happened, or if I would have done this years ago, you know, and it, none of it matters because it doesn't, it didn't happen. It's not 5 years ago. It's literally today. And for me, yeah, definitely. Like I always think about, I'm like, okay, imagine I had social media five years earlier or whatever, and I blew up and I had 100,000 followers. I wouldn't have been able to handle that mentally. You know, I still probably couldn't now. As a guy who was completely shy and insecure, and you know, it didn't even show his face on social media for the first 2 years. No personal posts, nothing. No, I was not ready for all that comes along. I presume comes along with like 100,000 followers. So yeah, that's just another kind of point. All main one is gratitude again. If it's probably one of those things. I don't see a human that wouldn't benefit from doing it. And side note with mindset, because some of you might be in the same boat as me. I thought mindset was a load of bollocks. Let's be completely honest. I was like, I remember I was like, ah, they're quacks. Don't worry about them. Like if I would have listened to myself now, what, five, 6, 7 years ago, I would have been like, this lad is off his chops. Just go and lift weights. Eat your damn protein, get a six pack, get big muscles. That's all your problem. Your life is solved. And I suppose that's why I'm so maybe passionate about that side of things now, is because I truly, truly see the benefit of it. And I can see now how my mindset was holding me back. Literally everything we've talked about here. But again, at the time I was completely unaware. And I think there's resistance as well. Usually, this is a nice saying, if you can't, you must. So if the things that you kind of resist the most are probably the things that you needed. And that's definitely true for me with when it comes to like mindset, personal development work. If I didn't do them, there's no way I would have been in the situation I'm in now in terms of business life. Again, could I be way further ahead? I could, but you could always argue that I could be way further behind. Doesn't really matter. I am where I am, and it's because of everything. It's all meant to be, you know. So the next point that I want to bring up is, don't wait until a tragedy has to happen to be the reason that you start living your life. And I know that might sound bad, but I see this a lot. It happened to me, you know, and that's where you see it with people's health. What happens? People don't prioritize their health until something happens. And for me, you know, it's like someone's dearly that I loved life had to end for mine to start. And that's like deeply ingrained in my mission of what I want to help people with, is like, I don't want it to have to come to that for you to start living the life that you're meant to live, because you can do it right now. You just need to take that step and not do what I did and procrastinate and tell yourself stories and move halfway across the world to try to escape the things, the thoughts inside your mind, and realize that they are still there, and it doesn't matter about the external. You need to control internal first. And that leads me to my next point again, which is something you probably heard before, and it's, you're going to die, which sounds very morbid, and it sounds like I'm going down a bad street here with the last 2 points, but it is true, and we are all going to die at some stage. We're not going to be here anymore, and that's why life is too short. And that was, if you remember back to the last podcast, that was the sentence that was ringing in my ear the day after that happened. And I was like, life is too short. And that's where I just started taking action from that, because do you want to look back, you know, and have a bunch of, I wish, I should have, I could have, if I had to do it again, I would have. They are the sentences I do not want to here when I when it's all said and done. I look back down. I want to see that I did, you know. So this is where nice question to ask yourself as well here is like, what's the worst that can happen? Especially when you have big decisions, because a lot of us, like me, procrastinate on things. What is the worst that can happen? I've probably gone the opposite way where like, I don't think of the consequences, you know? I'm like, even now, we're out of our house in like a month, 2 months maybe. And no idea what I'm going to do. Like, I'm not even thinking, don't care. I'll go with the wind, you know? I will be in some country doing something, just doing the same thing I'm doing. But again, what's the worst that can happen? And what you'll find is when you actually write this out, even if you did want to journal on that question, especially when you have a big decision to make, you know, what's the worst that can happen? It's not often half as bad as we imagine in our mind. And you know, for a lot of it, what is it? You fail. I've failed many, many times. I'll fail many more times. It's probably the best thing that's happened to me. Is actually failing, because it's allowed me to actually improve and see where I'm going wrong. You know, that's where even right now, little things, but like TikTok for me is not, following is not growing on it. So it's failing. But what happens is, okay, I analyze it and go, okay, there's an opportunity here. Something has to change. What can I change to make it better? And that's where the mindset towards failure is, we think of it backwards. We think of it as a negative thing. It's always going to be positive if you take the learnings from it. And often in failure, there's opportunity. And like, that's even looking for me. I've failed so many times at different things, whether it's launching programs, different sites, other business ventures, whatever it was. Failed miserably, which is funny. But again, like it happens to all of them. If you look at all the really, really successful people, they fail. But it's the way they respond to it, you know? And again, what's the worst that can happen? You fail. A lot of times we're worried about what other people will think if we fail. Most times people that don't actually care, you know? It's like, oh yeah, you failed. Oh yeah, they don't care about you, you know? That's the people that really do care. They're not going to see any, if anything, they'll be the ones to support you, you know? And so, yeah, just remember, life is too short. If you are on the, there's something you want to do, there's a change you want to make, just make it. Because if you've thought about it as well, if you've been thinking, you're going to do it some stage anyway. So you may as well get it, you know, don't wait 7 years like I did. Just 7 minutes, just do it, as Nike says. So the next point, that a phrase that I like to go by is, think big, act small. Think big, act small. And it's a kind of something that I've always keep, it needs to be reinforced in me all the time. And this is why like your environment, the people you hang around or speak to, are really, really important. And that's why I'm so big on our like community and MC Future Fitness, and what we're doing is not an individual thing. It's a group thing. Because for me, I always, and that it's one reason why I travel and I do the things I do, is so I can think bigger. You know, I'm actually going away this week for like 10 days. And the goal of it is to actually sit down, reflect, and try to think bigger. Because I don't know about you, but again, when you're from a small town as well, you can get caught in that small town thinking. And that's why for me, I try to always network and talk to people that are doing things much bigger than I'm doing. Because you'll notice when you talk to people like that, they're on a different level. They have a different perspective to everything, you know, and you are always capable of more, no matter who you are. Should you celebrate your wins and achievements? Yes. Can you do more? 100%. I'm always capable of more. And when you have people around you who push you to do that and are constantly telling you that and are like, no, why can't you do this? Why not bigger? It's really refreshing as well, because you don't want always the yes men around you. You know, you want those people to challenge you, to essentially believe in you and be like, you're doing good, but let's do better, you know? And that's where the act small comes in, because you do want to, you have those big goals. Everybody, I think, should have those, what's it called? The bag, big, hairy, audacious goals, that dreamer, the one that doesn't seem real. But then it's the small actions over time that add up to allow those big goals to be achieved, you know? And without them, it really is a pipe dream, you know? Whereas the thinking should be huge, should be bigger than yourself, bigger than you can imagine. The actions, small, daily, you know? That's where you'll see that with your fitness journey. Again, it's boring. It's not sexy. It doesn't sell well. It's the basic habits, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, that accumulate over time. So guys, I hope you got some value from today. If anything, it was a great, good to get all this off my chest. And if you've listened to me this far, this is your sign. If you are thinking about doing something, if any of this is hitting home with you, I want you to not just listen, not just, well, definitely comment, subscribe, do all that stuff. But I want you to go and do it, because you won't. Nothing changes if nothing changes. I can inspire you. I can motivate you. But you have to go act. Again, think big, act small. And I just leave you with a quote that I love, that I came across this years ago, but I've used it a lot. And it's, your mind can be your greatest gift or worst enemy. The choice is yours. So guys, if you did get some value from today's episode, I would truly, truly appreciate it if you could give it a share, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. It all really, really helps this podcast grow. And the goal is to get the information out to as many people as possible so we can have that positive impact. So again, this is the end of another series. It's been emotional. Hopefully you've enjoyed it and got some value from it. I would love to hear from you guys as well. It is weird speaking into a camera by myself. It does feel like I'm a bit of a looper at some stage, especially when I'm talking about myself. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm a bit nuts. So it's always good to hear from the person on the other side and their perspective. But guys, thanks so much. And we will speak to you in the next season. We will definitely try not to leave it 2 years from the first. Thanks, guys.